In this episode, you'll discover the weird addiction you have as a podcaster that's stopping you from growing your show.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Tyga O'Shea.
In this episode, you'll discover the hidden knowledge addiction and why it's stalling your growth.
The difference between the aesthetic life of passive consumption and the ethical life of active commitment.
And why you find it so hard to gain traction, even though you know so much and have meaningful conversations.
Hello and welcome back to another Monday episode, where we dive deep and explore the hidden reasons why your podcast isn't growing or monetizing as fast as you like, and address the uncomfortable truth around what's holding you back from taking your show to that next level.
Look, have you ever wondered why you consume so much content and yet you still have bad habits, a business that might be underperforming, content that doesn't seem to reach more people no matter how hard you try and push? How come you know so much, do so much, yet your results don't come?
You read books, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube videos, discover new strategies that you tried to implement on your own to improve life, and it doesn't work. Or even worse, you hoard new ideas that sound great and make sense but do nothing with them. Ideas that could be the keys to solving the most painful problems, and yet you never seem to be able to integrate those changes into your life, even though they're the exact things that have the power to transform everything for you. Why do we sabotage everything we want by acting in this way? Well, the philosopher Søren Kierkegaard drew a powerful line between two modes of living, the aesthetic life and the ethical life. So if you're thinking, why is he being so pretentious with the benefit at the start of the episode? I'm actually quoting a famous philosopher, so, you know, get to know. So when you apply this lens of this distinction to your creative journey, especially as a podcaster, that distinction really does hit quite hard, because the aesthetic life is seductive. It's rooted in passive consumption, which again brings us to our point. Read the books, listen to podcasts, binge the courses, and each new idea feels like a breakthrough because you get those quick dopamine hits that feel like progress.
But in reality, you're not moving forward. You're essentially looping around in the exact same spot. These insights become kind of like these false summits, you know, peaks that have the illusion of elevation, the illusion that you're leveling up, when in fact, you haven't truly climbed at all. The ethical life, on the other hand, well, that's a totally different beast. It's not about what you know, it's about what you do with what you know. Now, I know that sounds very obvious, and I know, and later on, I'm going to kind of share how I completely screw this up, even though I know this is a fact. You know, again, the ethical life one requires active commitment. It forces you to take what you've absorbed so far, the knowledge you've consumed, and actually apply it. All the flaws, all the failures, everything that you've learned, again, applying them. Now, here's the thing. It's uncomfortable. You're going to feel vulnerable, and it's often thankless in the beginning.
Thankless.
Well, when we say thankless, Tyg, what do I really mean? Thankless in the beginning, meaning, well, you don't get an immediate reward. You don't get any recognition. The results of taking action don't happen very fast, especially at the start.
Kind of like if you publish a new episode and no one says anything. Or, you know, you finally publish an episode that pushes you out of your comfort zone and no one says anything. For example, your first solo episode. Or you step out of your comfort zone in really any way, and instead of empowering it, it just feels a bit awkward.
It can feel like you're doing all of the right things, making bold, growth-aligned moves, but the world doesn't cheer you on yet. It's kind of just you on your own. That's why it's thankless.
Okay.
You're acting with integrity and commitment, but without applause or external validation. But if you stay in it long enough, that initial silence inevitably and eventually turns into way more momentum. And that's when transformation becomes undeniable. Now look, Tyg, mate, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we're here to preach. This is something that we're going through constantly. Look, I remember when I first dropped out of university, I remember we started our business helping entrepreneurs grow and monetize. I honestly became obsessed, dude, right? I felt like I was on a constant high. And to be honest with you, I pretty much was addicted to consuming educational content and personal development content. I was on it.
Yeah, you were.
Right? I'll listen to Tony Robbins, stuff about law of attraction. I'll read spirituality books. It was all consuming. Like, all-consuming.
I remember this one time when me and Anthony were still at university. He had dropped out of the course, but we were still living together at the campus. And we did a big house clean. And no one wanted to clean the bathroom because that was always the worst job. We, you know, we took it in turns. But this time Anthony was like, no, I'll clean the bathroom. And we were like, okay. And then it was, the bathroom was on the highest floor. So it was kind of like, it was a bit quieter up there. And I went up there for some reason, you know, about half an hour later when we're in the middle of the clean. And I realized why he wanted to clean the bathroom. It was so he could listen to his audiobook in peace. And that's what he was doing. He was cleaning the bathroom, but blasting out some personal development book. And I was like, ah, okay, that's why you want it.
Again, it was infectious. And I genuinely was addicted. And to be honest with you, Tig, and I think we both experienced it because, again, we're business partners here, right? The first 2 years, that addiction did pay off. You know, I did start getting better.
We learned a lot.
I did become way more disciplined. We got our first client, done our first couple clients, and the business started growing. And it did for a while until it didn't.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I felt like I knew so much, but I was always stuck. Like, I was working harder and harder in my business. I knew exactly what to do, but for some strange reason, my results weren't coming. It was frustrating, to say the least. And to be honest, I felt like I deserved more. I didn't quite understand what the hell was I missing. Why wasn't I making the progress? Why aren't things clicking?
Well, it seemed like everyone else had things figured out and we were falling behind. You know, it got to a point where we started to feel a bit embarrassed about where we were in the business. We didn't want to let people know how things were going because things weren't going well. You know, we made some pretty bold moves. I mean, Anthony dropped out of his course and, you know, a few months later when we both finished, we both went full time on the business and kind of basically did what we could to allow us to go full time. You know, took some risks, right? And a couple of years later, we were still just working all day, every day, barely getting by, kind of still spinning our wheels, still very much in the feast or famine stage.
I think for both of us, mate, we kind of had this, again, this knowledge addiction. You know, we started to notice something fundamentally flawed, which was, well, we know all these things. We knew what we needed to do in the business, but we would end up working on tasks. Like, I remember I'd literally wake up one day, knew exactly what I needed to do to grow the business, and then I would end up working on tasks that weren't even aligned with what I set out to do in the first place. Things that weren't actually going to grow the business. Again, even though I knew what was going to grow the business, I knew which action mattered, which were lead generation for the business, doing cold outreach and living in my DMs, doing appointment setting with potential prospects. Yes, it's not the sexiest thing on earth, but it needed to be done, right?
Yeah.
Taking sales calls basically all day, every day, since we have a consulting and coaching business, and actually following up with old leads. All the shit that actually mattered.
Yeah, it was pretty simple and straightforward, but we weren't doing it consistently enough.
But why weren't we doing it? Well, funnily enough, I kind of realized and came to the realization listening to a podcast. I found out how life works. Anyways, the guest posed a question for people who felt like they were stuck, but they felt like they also knew so much. And the question was this: what if your consumption habits aren't about growth at all? What if it's all about avoiding discomfort?
It really is. You know, it's a way to avoid the discomfort of rejection when you reach out to clients or potential prospects, the potential failure when you launch something new, you know, like, for example, trying to do a course launch or a program launch and just not having people sign up, not filling the spots.
Or having like 3 people sign up.
Yep. Or in our case, literally having no people sign up on our first one. Facing your limitations when you tackle something different, right? Realizing just something just doesn't sound as good as you thought it did when you record it, or realizing that something doesn't look as professional as you thought it was going to be, or just realizing that, you know, your objection handling isn't as good as you kind of thought it was going to be, you know, just really was facing your limitations. Or another common one is imposter syndrome that kicks in when you do get a hint of results, right? It's a terrifying thought that your success might be a fluke and everyone will figure out that you don't belong there. And this is a particularly big thing, I think, in the coaching space because, you know, it's high ticket, you're charging premium prices. What if you can't deliver results that justify the investment? And above all, a lot of responsibility having people's businesses and livelihoods depend on your guidance.
And if you listen to our recent Monday episode, we spoke about fear. Again, fear controls so much of the decisions we make. And like we mentioned, look, that's why you kind of choose to consume another course, read yet another book, watch another YouTube video, instead of taking intentional action on what you should be doing. Learning just feels safer than actually doing. Consuming feels less risky than creating. Studying feels more comfortable than implementing and potentially failing.
And the most painful realization is that you already know how to create dramatic change in your life and business. So again, it's not a problem of a lack of knowledge, but more so a lack of implementation. And knowledge without implementation is not just neutral, it's actively harmful because it creates the illusion of progress while robbing you of the urgency needed for real change. Whew, mic drop.
Look, every book you read, every podcast you listen to, every course that you buy gives you that temporary feeling of momentum. This feeling is so satisfying that it becomes a substitute for actual progress. Think about it. Have you ever experienced finishing another business book, you felt super inspired, and then immediately opened up another book, again, without actually implementing what you've learned, or you actually consumed and read a personal development book? You had loads of deep insights through reading the book, but then you pick up yet another book without fully integrating everything you've actually learned.
Right, that's not education, that's escapism dressed up as self-improvement. So what finally changed for us?
Tyke? Well, I think number one, we kind of just hit a point of, you know, frustration, critical mass, if you want to call it that, where we kind of just had moments where we realized, like, dude, what the hell are we doing, you know?
Yeah, dude. I was like, dude.
And I think, you know, for me, I had one moment where I was sitting on my desk one morning, frustrated that we haven't signed any clients that week. And my first instinct was to open up YouTube and search for how to get clients.
As you do.
And then like a brick wall, it kind of hit me. I was like, dude, you already know how to get clients. I'd already consumed hours and hours of content on that exact topic.
Dude,
I had folders filled in my computer called client acquisition. Loads of videos, loads of notes. I could probably teach a masterclass on how to generate leads for a business. But I didn't send a single outreach message that week. The absurdity was actually staggering. Like, here I was about to consume more information about a problem I already knew how to solve, while completely avoiding the solution I possessed. I didn't send a single cold outreach message that week. How the hell could I be annoyed that I haven't got clients or sales calls on my calendar?
Yeah, it's like being hungry in a house with a fridge filled with food, but instead of going downstairs and opening the fridge, you just decide to open up your laptop and watch videos of other people cooking and then wonder why you're starving.
Again, this is the complete delusion I was under. It made zero sense, you know? That's when the logic became undeniable. Like, how could I be frustrated that I'm not getting clients when I'm not doing the work that's going to help me get clients? The frustration wasn't about the external circumstances. It was about my own behavior and the realization that, hey, I'm just not in alignment with all of the goals and all of my dreams and all of these aspirations. It was humbling, very humbling, pretty embarrassing, but in that moment, it was super liberating. What was the second shift that happened?
Well, we hit rock bottom in the business. You know, we had team members that we just couldn't keep on because we couldn't afford to pay them. And this feeling of failure became reality, not theory. You know, it kind of created an emotional boundary that we couldn't cross because we'd now been to the bottom and we were really starting to see consequences of our actions. Again, like what happened with certain team members.
Like, we were literally on the brink of bankruptcy. Like, I'm talking like 2-3 days.
Oh, yeah. How did I completely forget like, about that? That was that's actually the fucking thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, we were literally...
thing where like I had to like tell Anthony and we were like, whoa, like we're actually gonna go bankrupt.
We looked at our numbers,
yeah,
and it just was not, it was in a horrible state, you know.
And so the point is, you know, we just couldn't, it was like our minds was now just blocking us from making the same mistakes because it was just so painfully obvious, you know. So we couldn't just go and create more content because we were just at this point too much of a state of desperation and a bit more awareness, I suppose, than before too.
And then the final thing that we did was we invested in a mentor, right? We actually made a financial commitment. And again, it was painful at the time. It kind of forced us to commit. It was a spot where, again, we didn't have that much money, right? But we had to force ourselves to make it work.
No, we had invested in the mentor before nearly going bankrupt.
Yes, correct.
like very recently before.
So us putting that money down, well, what it did was it kind of just propelled us forward. It made us take more action because we could no longer just, you know, if you watch a YouTube video and you think to yourself, oh, that's really interesting, that's really good, you know what, I'm going to try that someday. I should probably give it a go.
There's no consequence to ignoring that, right? It's like, oh yeah, I can give it a go, but nothing happens if you don't. But when we're paying people, we paid someone tens of thousands of dollars and they were giving us advice every day, you know, it just feels like money flushing down the drain if we don't do it if we don't follow through. And for us, that investment created urgency and it transformed just advice into orders, really.
Now, the psychology of this is pretty simple, right? When we paid a significant amount of money for guidance, we suddenly became way more motivated to actually extract that value from it. Hey, we're not just guys trying to build a business. We're someone who's invested tens of thousands into their business. That distinction actually mattered so much. People who invest that kind of money, they don't procrastinate, they just execute.
Now, if you're a business owner or an expert with a podcast, if you're a podcaster listening to this, which you probably are, you might be thinking, well, yeah, I know what you mean. I've been there with maybe with business, maybe with this, that, or the other, but not with my podcast. Like, I actually don't consume any content. I'm way too busy to research podcast growth and marketing. I'm definitely not wasting time doing that, and I'm definitely not procrastinating by consuming too much information about podcasting. Probably the opposite.
If that's you, you're right. And hey, look, by the way, this version is actually a way bigger problem than what you probably think.
Oh, plot twist.
Because while others are drowning information, most podcasters and business owners are drowning in ignorance. You're grinding away, putting pure effort and consistency into growing your show, believing that, you know, just good content and hard work will eventually equal growth. You post weekly, show up consistently, and you genuinely give your heart to every episode. And you assume that, hey, that's enough. But here's what inevitably happens when this approach stops working. You hit rock bottom. Your rock bottom looks different, but is just as devastating.
Right. Either you quit entirely and you walk away from months or years of hard work, leaving behind a library of valuable content that never reached its potential. You feel embarrassed explaining to people why you gave up on podcasting, frustrated that your genuinely valuable show never took off despite all the effort poured into it. Or worse, you have a painful realization that you've been spinning your wheels for years. You look at your podcast analytics and see the brutal truth.
Or you completely avoid your podcast analytics for months, only to see the brutal truth.
Yeah, either way, you see the brutal truth, which is what, Anthony?
Well, despite you publishing consistently, your audience hasn't grown in a meaningful way for months. And 6 months in, a year in, 2 years in, your hard work, you're barely getting any reward. And that's when that thought starts to creep in. The momentum towards quitting becomes harder to ignore. The voice in your head gets louder and louder and becomes way more persuasive and seductive.
Right, maybe this just isn't working. Maybe I'm not suited to podcasting. But that's painful because you know you're actually good at podcasting. You know your content is valuable. You know you're saying things that matter and do help people if they listen. And when people do listen, you've actually had good feedback from them as well. You know, your delivery is engaging. You ask good questions. But this doesn't matter if you don't have the skills and strategy to grow and market a podcast to reach new audiences. In that area, you can be completely out of your depth, even though it seems as if you're good at podcasting.
And that's irony, right?
Crushing irony.
So look, how can we switch this? How can we go from passive consumption, if that's you, or if that's not you and you're just the guy who's ignorant, he's not even consuming content to implement, right? How do we bridge that gap? Here's what we need to do. Most podcasters skip over the boring fundamentals. Who is my show for?
How can I communicate this in an attractive way?
How can I turn more strangers into listeners?
And then get those same listeners coming back for more.
How can I consistently reach more of those listeners every single month?
And then each month, how can I get these people to move towards taking action and engaging with me and potentially buying from me?
Maybe you've thought about these questions. Maybe you haven't.
But even if you have you implemented the answers?
Have you taken the step needed to make each part real?
Or are they stuck in your head, ideas never materialized, potential never reached, frustration building because you know what to do, but you struggle to do it?
Or because you're living in blissful ignorance, not knowing what to do, not knowing which actions to take, not going out of your way to find the guidance you know you need and the help you're avoiding to get. Look, we live in a world and in a day and age where help is readily available.
Yep. Like we said, right? Blogs, books, podcasts, YouTube videos, just the internet in general, and of course, AI now.
There really isn't any excuse for you to know what you need to do.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of taking intentional action towards finding out and then quickly implementing what you've discovered.
So if you're still listening, thank you. We hope you found this an interesting exploration so far. Ask yourself this, what's one piece of knowledge you've acquired that, if actually implemented, would create the most significant change in your podcast, business, or personal life?
Not five things.
Not 10 things.
One thing.
Now, what if you committed to implementing just that one thing fully before consuming any new information?
What if you created an implementation threshold, a rule that says I don't get to consume new content until are fully implementing what I already know?
Well, this would now move us from the aesthetic life of passive consumption to the ethical life of active commitment. Whew, what a way to close that loop, right? You probably forgot about that. I actually forgot about that until just then. It doesn't happen by accident, right? It's a very deliberate switch, and it's a choice that you have to make every day. It's deciding that implementation comes before education.
That action precedes additional knowledge.
And while this seems obvious when stated plainly, our habits may tell a different story.
Now here's a final irony. The people who consume the most educational content often produce the least impressive results, while those who implement the most, even with their imperfect action, tend to achieve surprising success.
Yep, the gap between your current results and your potential is an implementation gap and not a knowledge gap.
And closing that gap, again, does not require more information. It requires honesty about where you're fucking up.
Courage to face fear.
Consistency despite failure.
And commitment to seeing things through.
Look, you have amazing ideas. You're having incredible conversations. We know this because we work with literally hundreds of podcasters.
Yep.
Podcasting can be tough. It's not an easy gig to grow, to monetize, to reach your dreams. It's not easy at all. But it's important to know that you might feel like you deserve the world, right? And maybe you might do. Who knows? I believe in you. I want to see you crush it. But until your actions align with your hopes and your dreams, you'll forever stay stuck in a painful hell you've created for yourself.
Damn. The question isn't, what do I need to learn? The question is, what am I avoiding by continuing to learn instead of acting?
And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes, like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.